right, welcome to the Free Stretch Conference Championship Edition. I am Bobby Fenton here on JoeBucksFan.com. Thank you for joining us for another week. Got a lot of fun planned on the show for you today. And I want to start out, first of all, just, I'm not going to beat it to death because at this point, you know, 4 days hence, you've seen it from every angle. You've heard the radio calls from the home team, the road team, the national radio broadcast, the TV, on and on and on. But I just want to go back to the divisional playoff round this past Sunday to start the show off today, because if you've heard this show before, it's a refrain you've heard many times. I talk about how sports is the best reality TV going, how you'll never find anything, whether scripted or unscripted, reality or non-reality, whatever it is, nothing that will play with either your emotions or the emotions of other people that you're watching. Nothing that has the swings from high to low and back to high again. Nothing that has the absolutely organic drama, and nothing contrived about it, that live sports brings to you. And I know that this whole year everything's been talking about the ratings in the NFL and how things are down and this and that and the other, and things are down television-wise across everything, not just the NFL. And even if you take the ratings dip into account, the NFL live football games are by far the highest rated things on television. And you know what? There's a damn good reason why. Because Sunday evening, watching the end of that Vikings-Saints game, and again, we don't need to go over the whole X's and O's part of it, let alone the other three divisional playoff games that happened last weekend. I mean, it was the second time in 6 days, if you go back to the college football national championship game the Monday before that, second time in 6 days where I was sitting in front of my television with my family just screaming, oh my God. Like, I literally, and I mean this as literally as I can say it, I literally could not believe what had happened. Just like on Monday night before that with Alabama and Georgia, I literally could not believe the last play of that game, let alone everything that leads up. I mean, folks, I don't even watch television shows anymore. I could name all these television shows I used to like, and I don't have as much time now, and there's other things going on. You know, I'm not afraid to admit it. Used to be a big Grey's Anatomy fan, kind of got lost last season, got behind a few episodes, and you know how it is when you get behind a few episodes. What you really ought to do is just start watching, just, okay, I missed a couple. Catch up, read some online recaps or whatever, and go. But when you tell yourself, oh, no, I'm going to get caught up, then you start putting it off and putting it off. Next thing you know, you're like 10 episodes behind, and I stopped watching it. And all y'all laughing out there right now, don't at me, okay? I don't care. Love Grey's Anatomy, but I haven't watched it in almost a year and a half now. I was a huge West Wing fan. I was a huge fan of The Office when that was going on. Love The Simpsons. Still watch that from time to time, but all my old reruns. Was a huge Seinfeld. All these TV shows, everything you can name from way back when. But I don't watch anything anymore because it just pales in comparison to live sports. Whether it's college football, whether it's the NFL, whether it's Lightning games. You know, Rays games this year maybe aren't quite as exciting, or the prospect of them isn't quite as exciting maybe as we'd hope. But the point is, I mean, that's the good stuff right there. Inject those final 5 minutes from Saints-Vikings into my veins, man. Because there's nothing like it. Nothing can recreate that. Sports. And the whole thing, given what was on the line for that fan base in Minnesota. And obviously, Philadelphia is the same way. I mean, Philadelphia hasn't won the Super Bowl. NFL championships from the 50s or whatever it is don't count. The Super Bowl era, Vikings haven't won any. Philadelphia hasn't won any. It should be a fun one this weekend. And, you know, look at Patriots, Jaguars. And looking, first of all, at what we have left now. We got three football games, okay? We got three football games to go in the whole thing. And we're done. And I'm already getting sad about that. But the two we have this weekend And again, on paper, if you look at it, well, from the quarterback standpoint, you've got Tom Brady and three other guys who you'd never have guessed would be at this point. Obviously, injury has to do with Foles being Philadelphia's guy, but you got Tom Brady, then you've got, you know, Foles, Case Keenum, and Bortles. Now, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably like me. You're a hardcore. You know, I keep hearing about, oh man, the NFL, they're really worried about that potential Vikings-Jags Super Bowl. And I guess I get it. I mean, I'm not a TV executive, but I guess I get it. But if you're like me, and again, if you're listening to this show, you probably are. I mean, it almost couldn't matter less who actually plays in the Super Bowl. It's the Super Bowl. I would never miss. I mean, I don't think I've ever missed a play of the Super Bowl ever, except for 1999. Because I was so heartbroken after the Bert Emanuel faux non-catch that I vowed not to watch a single down of the Titans-Rams Super Bowl in protest because I was so distraught over the Bert Emanuel call. And I didn't watch that game for three quarters, but I knew the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl was happening. I eventually relented and did watch the fourth quarter of that game. And it was a great game, of course, because there's always something. Something always happens. So, since then, though, I mean, I don't even mean this in exaggerating fashion. I don't think I've missed a single play of the Super Bowl since then. And I won't of this one either. It's the Super Bowl. And I know where I'll be. But you're right. Hey, if it's Vikings-Jags, maybe, you know, that, you know, the girlfriend and wife crew isn't as likely to tune in. You know, the middle-aged mommy crew, the middle-aged hipster crew, whoever the people, I'm having trouble even naming them because I don't know who they are, but whoever the people are that don't watch the Super Bowl unless there's some certain draw. I mean, I get people that just don't watch it at all, and I get people that watch it unconditionally like me. I don't get the middle people that are kind of like, oh, you know, Super Bowl, oh, well, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, now I'll tune in. You know, but what if it's Blake Bortles and Case Keenum? And these are just individual quarterbacks, by the way, not teams. I mean, again, you could put any two teams in there, it wouldn't matter at all to me. But the point is, this weekend, whatever you think it looks like on paper, and it might not look great to you, always remember what is becoming, and this didn't used to be my motto, but it's becoming my motto. Always remember, with sports, something will happen. I say this about Lightning games. And the Lightning are really good this year, and they don't always win, but even when they lose, like, almost always something happens. If they're down, like, 4-1, they'll make it 4-3 and pull the goalie and come up short. I mean, that just every night, like, something will happen. With baseball, that World Series last October, every time a game looked over, just hang on, don't go away yet, something will happen. College football, you don't need to be told that twice. And then Saints-Vikings last week. I mean, are you kidding me? No. Something will happen, and something certainly did. So looking at Eagles-Vikings, total coin flip to me. Obviously, the Patriots are a little more sturdy favorite over the Jags, and I do like them in that game, but I would never. I mean, it always amazes me for as many things that happen watching sports, and I've been watching sports. You know, I'm 37. I've been watching sports, call it 30-plus years since I've been able to even understand what I was watching. And it happened again last week. My brother-in-law is a Saints fan. And he's staying with us right now. And he wrote the Saints off like six different times in that game. And I said to him, like, how long have you been watching sport? Like, don't you know by now? It was 17-0 at the time. I said, don't you know by now? Like, stuff happens all the time. These games are never over. You never know. Ah, oh, well, they suck. Breeze is too old, blah, blah, blah. So, of course, naturally, they come back. They take the lead. And now, all of a sudden, he's back into it. But then the Vikings took the lead again on the first field goal by Forbath. Remember that one? And he's, it's over. There's no way, blah, blah. And I'm like, dude, we just went through this. They have time to drive down and kick a field goal. And they did. And then, of course, what happened at the last play of the game was obviously not a good thing for him. But then he's like, oh, see, I knew all along. No, you didn't know all along. Nobody knew what the hell. Nobody knew that was going to happen. Like, just admit, like, we don't know. Football games especially. Listen,
Here's the thing about football that I love about it. You know, we complain about the length of baseball games sometimes, or at least I do. I've never complained about a football game being too long. Football games are really long, and lots of stuff happens in them. And what seems like a big play at the time, and they are. I mean, you might throw a pick in the second quarter, and oh my God, this just killed us. This red zone pick, we would have taken the lead, and now there's just, you don't win doing stuff like that. You just can't win. Yeah, you can. Really, really long, and lots of stuff happens. I want to make that the new motto, okay? First of all, there's two mottos today. One, something will happen. And two, football games are really, really long. Lots of stuff happens in them. Remember those two things when you're watching the games this weekend. And I don't know what will happen, and maybe there won't be a close game or an exciting finish. As far as what I'm rooting for, personally, I can tell you this right now. Eagles-Vikings, I think it'll be a good game. I hope it's a good game, and I'm not too invested in who wins it. I think it'd be a cool... I mean, when something like what happens to Minnesota happens, you almost feel like that team has to go on and at least get to the Super Bowl. It'd be a damn shame not to. But again, Philadelphia's got their own demons, so I'm not too wrapped up. I'm just going to watch that game and enjoy myself. Patriots-Jaguars. Now, let me tell you this. Jags are an easy, easy team to root for when you look at the whole underdog angle, when you look at the whole Patriots angle. A ton of people I've talked to, I mean, over and over I keep hearing the same thing. I'm just ready for somebody new to be in there. I'm tired of the same old teams. I'm tired of the Patriots. I hope the Jags go in there and get the win. I mean, the Jags are, again, they're, I mean, almost a universal pick of anybody who's a neutral observer. People like to see upsets. People like to see the underdog, on and on and on. And I would be too, normally, except for one thing. And if you know me well, you probably know where I'm going with this. All right? I'm a huge uniform guy, big on uniforms. I complain about the Bucks uniforms all the time on this show and how much they bother me and how much they affect my enjoyment of Bucks games, and they do. I probably enjoy Bucks games a full 25 to 50% less. Independent of the outcomes of the games, mind you. I'm not talking about their performance. Just watching Buck games, I enjoyed them 25 to 50% less in the last 5 years because of the stupid-ass uniforms they wear and what a clown show they look like. It affects my enjoyment of the game. Same thing with the Jags, who are actually, if you rank the team's uniforms in the NFL, I put the Bucks at number 31 out of 32 teams, mainly because of the just absurd, ridiculous number font and striping pattern they've chosen. But the reason they're 31 and not number 32 is because Jacksonville has that same ridiculous striping pattern, except Jacksonville's helmets. I mean, two-tone helmet. And once you make the Super Bowl, it's immortalized. Like, that helmet, even if they change it, which they're supposed to change it soon, thank God, go back to solid black, which they should always have done. But even if they do change it, when you go to a Super Bowl, it's immortalized. Like, even if you can go to the conference championship and lose, and it just becomes a footnote. Oh, those stupid Jags helmets. Hey, remember when the Jags wore those stupid helmets way back when? It's like a little novelty thing in 10, 15 years. But if they make the Super Bowl, you lock them in. Like, that's it. Those helmets become immortalized. So all y'all can root for the underdog and the plucky thing and the great story. Screw that. I'm rooting for the Empire, baby. I hope the Patriots and their classy, clean, modern, classic-looking uniforms beat the hell out of the Jags and keep that uniform matchup, spare us one of the ugliest uniforms to ever make the Super Bowl. I'm looking to you, Tom Brady. I'm looking to you, Bill Belichick. I'm looking at all of you on the Patriots to save us from having to look at that helmet and see those uniforms in the greatest single football game ever created by mankind. So that's what I'm rooting for, personally. Now, speaking of the conference championships, it's been a long time since the Buccaneers have been in one. In fact, we've talked about the anniversary. Actually, it's coming up. You know it's big when you remember anniversaries. Friday is January 19th. I'm recording this on Thursday the 18th, and which is when my podcast comes out on Thursdays. But Friday, tomorrow, if you're listening to this on Thursday, if you're listening to it on Friday, it's today, is the anniversary, 15 years ago, of the greatest sports moment in Tampa history. And I'm not even talking about winning the Super Bowl, though that obviously, that really is it. But as far as the greatest single moment, it's the Ronnie Barber interception for touchdown off Donovan McNabb to clinch the NFC Championship game, which all of us, if we're Bucs fans in any way, I have a hard time believing anybody has a more fond memory, including the Super Bowl, anybody has a more fond memory than that single moment. If I could bottle any 20-second span of my life, you know, aside from, I guess, the personal stuff like children being born and getting married and all that, if I could bottle any 20 seconds of my life and just have it on tap whenever I needed it, I wish I could put those 20 seconds from when Ronnie intercepted the pass and ran into the end zone, just put that in a bottle, because that was just the good stuff. And that was going to be going on 15 years on Friday. 15 years. And I mean, I remember like it was 15 minutes ago. But the years are ticking off, man. I'm 37. A lot of ways I still feel really young. A lot of ways I'm starting to feel older. We all go through it, no matter what age you are. But apparently, for Jason Light, it hadn't been that long. And you've heard it by now, especially if you listen to any of the other podcasts. I know Justin, the commish, talked about it, and a lot was made of it this week. But Jason Light had some comments in his end-of-season interview. And what he talked... And Joe did a great post on Joe Bucs Fan about calling baloney on Jason Light. First, he published a quote from 2015, not even this season, but the end of two seasons ago, where this is the quote from Light two seasons ago at the end of the season. Quote, "And they're only going to get better, better and better as the years go on. I think next year the expectations are going to be set that we need to make the playoffs." This is before the 2016 season. "Because we have the talent. We're going to have the talent to do it." That was Jason Light, December 27, 2015. And as you know, in 2016, the Bucs did actually do pretty okay, finishing 9-7, missing the playoffs on a tiebreaker to the Lions. So then, again, that was a reasonable thing for Light to say at the time. It was a reasonable thing for us to believe. It didn't work out. Then coming into 2017, after what happened in 2016, as you all know, as we all remember just a few months ago, I couldn't have been more excited for this coming Bucs season before I saw it. I remember back in the preseason thinking, oh man, you know, they were close last year, but they didn't have guys like O.J. Howard, DeSean Jackson. Jameis is a year older, ready to make the leap forward, on and on and on. And so after that, you know, we all know what happened this season. In an interview a few days ago, Light said this, quote, "The whole year, just the expectations were just not set by us. It was something I cringed at," Light said. Continuing, "Of course you want positive things written about us, but when the expectations are that we've got these weapons now, we're going to score 50 points a game, it's just not that easy. I think these guys are going to learn a lot from this season. I know we only finished with 5 wins, but there's just nobody walking around here thinking anything but good things about next year. Everybody is excited about it." Well, gee, I would hope you're looking forward to next year. I'm sorry you cringed at the idea that anybody might think you might actually play a game in January on even wild card weekend for the first time in a decade. I mean, let's pump the brakes here, guys. It's only been a decade since the playoffs. I mean, y'all are spoiled. Y'all need to calm down expecting the Bucs, especially coming off a 9-7 season, supposedly improved. And in Jason Light's, whatever, what is this, like his fifth year or four? I mean, you have to look it up, his fourth or fifth year. I mean, pump the brakes. Let's not get carried away. He cringed that all of us might think, hey, these guys can be pretty good. Maybe we'll be good for once. Like, maybe we won't play games in December that are meaningless. Maybe we won't be a laughingstock. Maybe we won't be talking about the draft by Thanksgiving like we usually are. Call me crazy. That was where I was coming from. Apparently that made Jason Light cringe. And you can talk all you want about culture, and you hear it all the time. You know, I don't know exactly what has led to the Bucs ailings over the last 10 years. I mean, it's not any one thing, obviously. There's lots of things from an organizational standpoint at the very top all the way down. Whether it's drafts, whether it's preparation, or any number of things. There's no one thing. We know that. And it's easy to just pump sunshine and have a yes-we-can attitude and
if that's all you do is just have a mantra without actually putting anything to work to make it happen, it still won't matter. But at the very least, have the mantra. Welcome the expectations. I cringed at that. Look, I did think, I may or may not have said on Twitter at the beginning of the season, quote, this offense may not punt the entire season. I admit, I'm guilty. I may have said something like that. Admittedly, I was exaggerating, but I may have said something along those lines. Forgive me for getting excited and thinking we could be one of those teams for once, you know? One of those cool teams with the cool offenses that goes out and just slaughters people. And even if the defense has an off day, it doesn't matter. Offense will make up for it. They got no chance. We're going to win everything. We're going to go 12-4. We're going to the playoffs. We're going to the bowl. I'm sorry. I want to personally apologize for Jason Light right now. I should know better after 15 years since a playoff win and 10 years since a playoff appearance. I should know better than in any way to get cocky about my football team. I'm glad I've been put in my place. And as a fan base, we should all collectively tuck our tails between our legs, consider any crumbs we might get, like a 9-7 season where you'll miss the playoffs on a tiebreaker, consider that to be our lot in life, and be thankful anytime we get close. Let the other teams be the ones that play in January and have chances to go to the playoffs, host playoff games, go to Super Bowls. You start thinking like that, and I've been there in life. I'm not talking about football now, but I've been, and maybe some of y'all maybe out there are just studs who've been winners your whole life and have had everything go every way you thought it would and it, never a doubt that you were going to succeed. I think for most of us, even the very successful people, it wasn't always like that. And I've been there before. I've been there in times in my life when I felt sorry for myself, or I just either didn't feel sorry for myself, but maybe just got to a point where I didn't really believe anything good was going to happen. And I was just happy not to have something bad happen, just try to keep the status quo. And you have to shake yourself sometimes and say, wait a minute, why can't I succeed more than this? Why can't I do more? Why can't I be that guy? I fully admit, and again, a lot of you out there, successful or not, may admit it too. Honestly, to ask yourself, have you ever been to a point in your life where you let it get to where you just didn't even entertain the possibility of success, more just trying to keep things on an even keel and just hope nothing went bad. Whether it's career-wise, financially, your personal life, whatever it is. I know with girls, I spent the better part of my entire, basically from age 15 until I got married, pretty much thinking, oh, whoa, whoa. I'm just lucky if a girl taught you. I never thought, hey, I'm going to go get this girl. I'm going to go do, I never had that mentality. I was shy. And if I ever did like a girl, I immediately put her on a pedestal and I put her above me and assumed, okay, well, I like her. She hasn't indicated she likes me. Whether she does or not, it's irrelevant. She hasn't indicated anything. So she's above me. She's up there. I'm down here. And I'm just going to keep this to myself. That's what I did. That's what I did. And that can become a lifestyle. It became a lifestyle for me for a while. Now, I'm just using that as an analogy. It could be anything in your life, but that's where the Bucs are right now as a football team, listening to Jason Light's comments. You know, it's like, whoa, hey, if something good happens to us, you know, that'll be great, but whoa, man, I would never have entertained, like, seeing a girl across a room, liking her, going up and talking to her, and leaving with plans to go out with her, or at least her number. Like, a 24-year-old me would not even have dreamt of that possibility. I just wasn't that type of guy, all right? And again, some guys are, some guys aren't, but that's what the Bucs are the equivalent of as a football team right now. They're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Those expectations made us cringe. It's only been 10 years since the playoffs. Let's not get carried away. So that's where they're going to have to, you know, whatever other X's and O's things or what happens in this coming draft and things like that, that's a serious problem with the Bucs right now, it sounds like. Trying to read too much. I mean, Jason Light is one person. You know, I'm not going to say what he said spills into everything else, but I've got a feeling it at least does a little bit. I hope Dirk Cutter doesn't share that same sentiment. I hope the coaching staff doesn't share that same sentiment. I hope the players don't sense and feed off that sentiment. Because you can, it's easy to go down that rabbit hole. It really is. And again, I've been there personally. A lot of you may have too.
And you start thinking, I'm not one of those people that good things can happen to. I'm just going to be one of those guys that just tries to just be all right. And screw that. Like, screw that. What's so special about Jacksonville? They're playing this weekend. They had, what, 3 wins? What was it? How many wins did they have last year? I mean, you know. And you hear it sometimes. Teams always have like a motto every season, why not us? And it's kind of cheesy, but maybe the Bucks need to have that attitude. Like, why the hell not us? Especially after all this time. You got the number one pick in the draft at the exact time you needed it. You got your guy. Now you fielded one of the worst defenses in football. Probably the worst defense, depending on what metric you want to use. But you're not that far off. I don't think they're that far off. I really don't. Fix it. And don't cringe if someone thinks you might actually win 10 or 11 games. Oh, my God. That pissed me off. And I know Justin was pissed off at the commish. I know the Joes were pissed off. Nobody wants to hear that talk after what this team's been through. Cringing at the expectation that you make the playoffs after 10 years. My God. No wonder. It really is no wonder. We should have known all along. We should have known all along. I hope it's not a sign of things to come next year. Speaking of the draft, and I'll end on this. I won't take up a ton of your time today. This week, and I get it because there's the East-West Shrine Game and the practices are being held here. The game is being held at Tropicana Field. So I get it's a little bit amplified this week. For those of you that don't know me, I like the NFL draft. I have nothing against the NFL draft, but I am not one of these draft guys or draft people that just for 4 months just incessantly talks about the draft. And, you know, there's all these amateur football gurus now on Twitter and the internet. Hey, check out this tape from the East-West Shrine practice on Tuesday. Look at this spin move from Central Michigan defensive end, Howie Felter snatch. I don't care, okay? I do not. I'm not saying don't listen to my show because I'm not going to talk draft. I'll talk draft. But if you think we're going to go into these obscure guys that the Bucks could take in round 2 or 3, I mean, for all the talk that goes into it, when the draft actually happens, it's almost never. I mean, it's just a way to pass time. You know what it is? It's mental masturbation. And that's fine. Masturbation can be great. But I'm not one of those guys that's going to break down somebody's mock draft. No, on no planet in hell will you ever see a mock draft from me for one round, let alone 7 rounds. They have people that do 7-round mock drafts. I have to ask Joe if any of our people do. I'm not trying to knock our own guy. But, really? Like, are you that bored? Are you that bored that we have to do 7-round mock drafts? And you know how much I love football. I talk about it all the time. You know how distraught I get when football season's over. I know some of you are saying, well, Bobby, it's football. It's all we have until the draft. I get it, but man, you know, go watch a hockey game, watch the Masters or something. The Australian Open tennis is going on right now. Just something, you know, I know it's not the same, but man, 7-round mock drafts, like really? Really? And they do them every week. Like, hey, in this week's mock draft, like what changed from 1 week to the next week that your mock draft is different now? It is all. I mean, I'm going to use an expletive because I'm not on the radio. I'm actually allowed to. I just never do it because I'm used to radio. Everything you hear and read and everything, and I'm not telling you not to enjoy it. If you want to read it and then do it just to pass time at work, on your phone, sitting on the toilet, hey, let me read about the latest mock draft, go for it. I'm not begrudging any of you any of that. But just know that everything you sit and hear and read from anybody, including me, about the draft until the draft happens, is 100% bullshit. 100% bullshit. Okay? None of us know anything. Unless you're in the scouting department or you're Jason Light's assistant or so. If you're on the inside, and if you are, you won't be talking. But if you then maybe you know something. But the rest of us, I mean, somebody actually posted a video this week, and I don't remember who, and I'm not trying to call the person out. But again, they were doing some one-on-one drill at the East-West Shrine Game practice, and they weren't even in full pads. It was like helmets and shoulder pads. It was uppers. And some kid from Central Michigan, like, put a spin move on somebody in one of the drills. And they're like, oh, look, check out this guy. This is a potential 3rd-round, 4th-round pick for the Bucks. This guy, pass rush. I mean, he might be good. I know nothing about the player, okay? I'm not knocking the player. But he put a spin move on somebody in helmets and shoulder pads in practice. I mean, I've made plays in practice, and I was a backup wide receiver almost my whole football career. I've made grabs in practice where you'd be like, oh my God, this guy, he's going D1, blah, blah. And I sucked. And I'm not saying the guy from Central Michigan sucks. I'm just saying I don't give a crap what one spin move from some guy in a practice in uppers only, in shells. And people are tweeting this out. Keep an eye on this guy. No, you know what I won't do? I won't keep an eye on him. You come tell me after the draft, hey, who'd the Bucks draft? Give me a list of a sheet of paper with the name, and then I'll go read about him. Okay? Until then, just tell me who the Bucks drafted. Like, seriously. I mean, I'll watch it live. I enjoy the draft. Again, by April, I'll be dying for anything just like the rest of you. But I don't feel the need to, like, micro-analyze every single practice drill for 4 months. I mean, not even in full pad. I mean, if they're in full pads, maybe then something. Okay, but, I mean, come on. Like, come on. So that's my first draft rant. We're not even in the offseason yet because we still have the conference championships and the Super Bowl. After the Super Bowl, I will go on several more draft rants. I'm just telling you now, like, this is just the first of multiple draft rants on this show. And I get triggered, just like the rest of us. Like, I'll be watching something on TV or reading Twitter, and I'll go ahead and see somebody tweet something about some completely obscure, meaningless thing. I'll go on another draft rant. But anyway, don't worry about that right now. For now, enjoy the conference championships. Remember what I told you. One, something will happen. Two, football games are really long and lots of stuff happens in them. Remember that while you're watching the games. We'll have our Super Bowl matchup next week when we do our next show. In the meantime, thanks to the Joes for hosting this. If you want to get a hold of me, as always, my Twitter handle is at Bobby Game Day. My email address, BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. Email me, tweet at me. I love hearing from you guys. That is the Free Stretch. Conference Championship Week.